Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Preacher Bill and the Gospel Hour message. It's 3/11/2018. I hope to turn your clocks back. This morning, we're doing a message on O Ye of Little Faith. It's basically on about our faith and how we deal with faith and what we should be doing with our faith. But before we go there, as always, I have a song for you and I have some prayer requests. So we're going to do the song first. And after the song, I'll get back to you and we'll do the prayer request. It's about 2 minutes, so I'll give everybody a chance to get here. But this morning, we're going to start out in Matthew chapter 8, verse 26, and Matthew 17, 20. And I'll give you the rest after that as we go. But if you'll put your finger in Matthew 8 and Matthew 17, we'll get started there after we do the prayers. But here's the song this morning. It's Only Trust Him. It's by Alan Jackson. All right. Be right back, folks. Folks, the message is, O Ye of Little Faith. But before we go there, like I said, I do have another one for you, another song at the end. That's why that was trying to start. But I have some prayer requests for you. So before we get started, I'd like to do that. There's some people that are sick with colds yet and flus and what have you. But I have a prayer request from Caitlin McManus. For Marty Bosnick, or Bosnick, B-O-J-N-E-C, little Marty is sick and in Yale, and it's believed he's got pneumonia. Now, little Marty, I'm not sure, but I think he might be 3 years old. I'm not even positive. But anyhow, little Marty is sick, and they're not sure what the answers are going to be yet. They're still waiting. They may know now because this was yesterday at some point, but at any rate, I don't know. I don't have the answer, so please pray for Marty that he'd be healed, that God would watch over him and take care of him, and he'd be able to go home soon. It's got to be rough on the family with sick little ones. They don't really know how to explain themselves. Pray for Erin Barnes. She's pregnant. She should be due any day now. They've been waiting for her to have the baby in the last couple hours, last couple of days. Tasha Estrada has a parade today at 1 p.m. Please hope that that goes off well. She's in the school band, so they're playing in a parade today down in New Haven, Connecticut. Pray that that parade goes well, that they have no problems with anything. We know the world's a crazy place, so let's just hope everything works out well for the parade. Pray for the veterans down in that facility down there in Florida, the three women that were shot by that veteran that just didn't know how to deal with things, folks. I don't want to make light of it. I'm not going to try to do that. But he had problems and needed help, and he couldn't get what he needed, and that was the only way he knew how to handle it. And he he took his own life as well. So pray for all of them involved, folks. Then here up in Maine, up at the Bangor facility, in the same situation, a man had a problem and he didn't know what to do, so he took his own life. Folks, I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but a lot of this is going to continue to happen right up to the end time, right up to the day that Jesus comes back. Not uncommon. But, folks, we do need to pray for the families, pray for strength that people would start getting back to God, start realizing that God is our answer. That's where our faith should be, folks, not in the faith of, oh, we can end it now and it's over with, because that's not how it works. And then pray for me for my back. My back is still bothering me. I'm not sure. I've been trying therapy, and we'll see how it works. I'm not real optimistic with that. I got a feeling there's a lot more than just therapy is going to have to be done here, folks. But please pray for the message as well. Pray for those in your families. Take into consideration, folks, those around you that are probably doing whatever today, but they're certainly not spending time with the Lord. So if you could, for a few minutes, pray silently for some of your friends. I mean, the Lord's always listening to our prayers. Father, we ask you, in the name of Jesus, for all of these prayer requests, that you would help us and guide us and strengthen us and continue to give us the strength and the faith to look to you for that guiding strength, for the hope that you give us that someday we'll be going to heaven. That's what our faith really is, Lord. It's not on all of the other issues in life, but on faith that we know that you're our Savior, that when we have faith in you, that you'll take care of us for the rest of our days. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Folks, O ye of little faith, I wrote this down. It says, how much faith do you have in God? Having faith the grain of a mustard seed can save you from hell, but it doesn't give you a lot during your walk. Faith the grain of a mustard seed is not enough. What you need is to read your Bible, to understand the scriptures, folks. This is where we start to learn about what faith really is and how we trust in God and how every day, no matter what the trials are, no matter what the problems are, our faith is in that Jesus, the Holy Spirit, is with us right in our own body, right around us. He's protecting us and he's guiding us and he's strengthening us. So when those tough and troubling times come, no matter what they are, if you have faith in Jesus, you'll get through it. I know that sounds difficult for you when you're in that trouble. I know. I've been in them. I've had people say to me, I don't know how you did that. How do you survive? How do you get by? Well, I just go, you know what? God said he'll take care of me. I have to trust him. I used to think that was crazy for people to think that way. It's really not. You know, once you start doing it, it becomes a habit. And before you know it, you're just doing it. It's just part of life. Does that mean that I don't get concerned with my situations or my problems or my trials? No. But I turn to Jesus and I go, if I'm yours and you're mine, then these are your problems. Help me fix them. Tell me, point me in the right direction so I know what to do. You know, Jesus said to his disciples, he said, if I don't go, in other words, if he didn't die, he couldn't send another one in his place to guide them and strengthen them. And that's what he was talking about. He was talking about sending the Holy Spirit to guide people while he was in heaven. He said, I got to go and prepare a place for you. And if I don't go do that, then there won't be a comforter sent. Well, where's your comforter? Your comforter's in the faith. Your comforter's in faith, the Holy Spirit, who's with you, who Jesus Christ is guiding you and strengthening you and keeps you. Many say that salvation's not of works. Well, I agree. Salvation isn't. No. Because salvation is what Jesus did on the cross for us. But as Christians, shouldn't we seek Jesus first in his righteousness in everything? In other words, when I get up and something goes wrong, instead of getting aggravated and upset because for whatever reason something doesn't work out well, be it the snowblower breaks in the middle of the snowstorm, or I don't have the money to pay the bills, or I got to figure out what I'm going to do, shouldn't I be going, all right, okay, no sense getting excited about this, no sense getting upset about it. Jesus will provide for me. He says he will. He said he provides for the birds of the air. He doesn't even give them a home. They just create it themselves. Why? Because that's the way they're designed, and that's how we should be. We should be thinking that God provides for them. He provides food for them. He provides shelter for them. He gives them wisdom to do. A bird flies. We can't fly. When it leaves the nest, it gets pushed out by the mother. Before it hits the ground, it's flapping its wings. Why? Because it's natural for it to want to fly. And it's natural for us to to want to excel and to move along through life. Just like they say, you know, a person may want to die, right? But the minute they start dying, everything's a different picture, baby. It all starts turning around like, hey, I don't want to die yet. I'm sorry, I didn't want to die. I got things I want to do. It's natural to want to survive. When someone takes their life and they say, I've given up, that's it, I'm going to do this, that's really not, they're just angry. They're just upset with themselves. They're just upset with the system. And the only answer they know, like these men that took their lives, was this is going to end it all for me and I don't have to deal with it ever again. And it's a sad tragedy that people do that. They have no faith. They don't think, well, okay, tomorrow could be different. Matter of fact, in the next hour, things could be different. If they didn't shoot anyone, would they have gotten the help they needed? My guess is they would have gotten some help. Somehow. They didn't have to do that. And neither do we. We don't have to take that drastic step to throw our hands up and quit and give up and go do something foolish and not look to God for the guidance or the strength. Now, many say that salvation is not of works, but there is a point that's our responsibility in salvation. We're to share our salvation with others. We're to, once we get saved, start reading the Bible. It's our responsibility to have faith enough that when we're reading the Bible and don't understand it, to keep on reading, to keep on going, to not quit. And if you don't understand it now, read on, come back and read it again another day. Eventually, God will say to you, listen, I've been giving you the milk for years. It's meat time now. Now it's time to get down to the brass tacks, as they used to say. It's time to really start getting into it. We're going to cross-reference this verse with that verse, this book with that book. I'm going to show you how all of this comes together. If you just have faith in me and keep on going, don't quit. That's what faith is. When these troubles come, we got to be able to say, I've had enough. Yeah. But God says, I'm not done with you. I'm going to make you stronger. I'm going to make you wiser. I'm going to give you the knowledge to press on and press through this little trial. Okay? Now, when we have sin in our life, and we know it's sin, we should have the faith to say, I don't want to deal with that, right? But we don't always do that. And here's some of the things. I pointed out to you what we have to do. We have to seek it out through Scripture, right? It means we have to pray. It means we have to search the Scriptures. If we've sinned, we have to pray and ask for forgiveness. That's called a repentant heart. And then he redeems us every step of the way. We're redeemed when we get saved. You're already going to heaven. Does it mean you'll never sin? No. No. The Bible says all are sinners. All have gone astray. None are righteous. No, not one. But he never, the devil, have you from the day you decided to be Jesus Christ's child. When you become God's children, you're protected forever. You're going to continue to make mistakes. You're going to have sin in your life. But you're also going to have God all along the way, the Holy Spirit, who convicts your heart to help you change. And how does that happen? Because you have faith in him. Let's look at some scriptures. Because my first question was this. How much faith do you have? Or, I have faith the grain of a mustard seed. Okay? The first question is this. Some of us only have that little bit of faith. And when I say some of us, I mean myself at times also. Sometimes things go wrong and I only have just enough faith to get me by. Matthew 17:20 says this. And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. What was that about? Well, Jesus was saying, listen, you have this little bit of faith, but you can make huge differences in the situation in your life. You don't have to deal with that mountain. Now, does that mean I go out and look at, say, Shawnee Peak here in Maine, Key Mountain, and go, I want to get through there, I don't want to go around it, so I'm going to stand here and have faith that God will tear that mountain down and move it. Does that mean that's what that faith's about? In a sense, it does, folks, because here's the deal. Oh, it may be a mountain, but I also have the knowledge to walk around it or drive around it or go up the trails that go over it. I don't have to stand there and look at that mountain and go, well, I guess I can't make it. I'm going to sit here at the bottom, and it's not going to go anywhere, so I'll just stay right here and die. That's not what faith is. Faith is, I'll get through this. I'll be able to move on. It's not that big of a deal. Now, again, if we look at Matthew 8:26, in Matthew 8:26, they were out on the water. They were in Jesus and his disciples were in a boat, and they were crossing from one place to another. And in the sea, the winds kicked up, and the boat was rocking back and forth. And the people on the boat got nervous, and they were afraid of what was going to happen. They thought the storm was going to push the boat over, and Jesus was down inside sleeping. And they couldn't believe he was down there sleeping and all this that was going on, and here they were about to perish. So they started getting nervous, and they're losing their faith and trust in the fact that the boat would get to the other side without tipping over. So somebody said, I'm going down to wake up our Savior, and I'm going down to tell him that he's got to do something because we're about to perish. So Jesus said this in verse 8:26. He said, and he saith unto them, why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? And when he said that, he said, O ye of little faith, as in a question. Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Well, Jesus awoke because the men in the boat were afraid, not because Jesus was afraid. He awoke to calm them. It was them looking to him for the strength and fixing the issue, and that's what we should do when those trials come. When our life starts looking like it's that bad, we should be looking to Jesus for the answer. And he said, you don't have any faith. What's the matter with you? Now, I thought about this, and here's what I come up with an idea for what happened probably. Jesus was down there in a boat, and what he was trying to say is, you don't have enough faith to believe that I'm down here in the bottom of this boat, and I'm going to let you perish? I'm down here sleeping because I needed some rest, and you actually think that your Savior would let this boat with me in it, that your God would let me drown. So this world with all this problem, you're looking at it as what a mess I'm in, and I can't get out of it, and I've committed all these sins, and all these things are going wrong, and I'm not doing the right thing, and no matter how I try, it just doesn't work out. Do you take the time to look to the Savior? Do you take the time and say, look, help me, Lord. I'm in a crisis. Because he's not going to let you go. Once you're saved, you know, like I said to you just a few minutes ago, once you're saved, you're saved. Nothing can take you from God's hands. Oh, the world could catch a fire. We could all burn up. But those that are saved won't die the second death. They're going to go to heaven. This earth that we're living on is filled with trials and tribulations, filled with misery, filled with all kinds of problems. But the answers have been faith. When we turn to Jesus, things get easier. Trust me, folks. They will clear up. They won't be so bad. If you don't believe me, go visit some friends while you're going through that trial. Find the friends that are church friends, people that have faith, people that believe in God, and they will get you through it. And then you'll be able to see it's not such a bad thing after all. Here's a question for you. One of my other questions was, does God make a way for us to escape from our sins? In 1 Corinthians 10, I'm going to turn there. You don't have to if you choose not to. That's fine. But in 1 Corinthians 10, I have marked down verse 6, 10, and 13. So let's look at them. In verse 6, it says, now these things were examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. You see, God says we don't have to. We're Christians. We don't have to. Now, we will. We will, because that's how the flesh works. You're going to lust after things. People said to me, well, what do you mean by that? What do you mean by lust? Well, there's all kinds of things of lust. There's lust of a higher paying job. There's lust of more possessions. There's a brand new car, a boat. I don't care what it is. I love motorcycles, motorcycles. There are things that people lust after. Alcohol, a good time at the bar. They lust after drugs, sex, gambling. I can go on and on, folks. A lust is a lust. It's a desire that makes us drive and drives us to the point where we'll do anything to have it, including give up God. Now, when we go to verse 10, it says here, it says, neither murmur, that means don't complain, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed by what? Of the destroyer. Because you see, while we're complaining, the devil's going good. I got him thinking that he can't survive. I got him thinking he's not going to make it. And I've been there, folks. I get there. Trust me. I'm no different than anybody else. What we have here is we have the opportunity to look to God and say, What am I wasting my time and my breath giving the devil credit where he don't deserve any? I know that these trials are going to come. God says so. Just because we live here doesn't mean we won't face trials. How does it make us stronger if we don't have trials? Because once the trial's over, right, and we've pulled through it and everything is good, we go, ah, that wasn't so bad. We can relax, right? Just like when I'm looking outside at feet of snow right now. I can't stand when I have to shovel a foot of snow. Not with my back. I'm not a young man anymore. It doesn't get easier. But when it's all done, I sit back and go, well, that's another one done. The old man finished another one. Now, that's how we should be looking at our problems. Oh, well, just tackle them. Get over it. It's just snow. You can do it. Take your time. Problems we face in life, they're little bits at a time, folks. Sometimes you got to take a nibble of the apple instead of a bite of the apple. There's people that will use that example. You know, you can't put the whole apple in your mouth, but you can finish the apple if you take a little bite at a time. That's the same with any issue, any problem that you're facing, no matter what it is. Look at the problem and work through it slowly, bit by bit, piece by piece, even if it's little tiny pieces. We can get through it, folks. And if you ever have any problems, come look me up on Facebook. Look up William Preacher Bill Barnes. I'll help you work through some of those problems if I can. And believe me, there are more avenues out there to help people with problems today than people even know about. And they throw in the towel so easy and give up because they won't have faith that they can get through it. This is about faith, folks. That's what I'm telling you. Have faith, not just in how you're going to get through it, but have faith in mankind. Have faith in God to get you through it. Look to the Lord, and he'll pull you through. Now, we're going to look at one more verse here in 1 Corinthians, and it's verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as common to man. But God is what? Faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. What's he mean by that? He says, listen, there ain't no sin, no temptation, no problem, none. That's not common to man. Every single problem that's out there has already been. Somebody said already dealt with it. There's already an answer for it. All you got to do is seek out the answer. And then he says here, he says, God's faithful. Well, how do you seek out that? You could open up your Bible and look for the answer. That's a good start. You can do that and find the answers, and he'll give you peace and let you know that this isn't such a bad problem after all. And like I said to you earlier, if I'm his, he's mine. These are his problems. Don't look to the world for answers to problems that belong to God. So you'll say, yeah, but what about my bills? Those aren't God's. Oh, they are. He'll provide for you if you trust him, no matter what it is. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able? He says, look, I didn't give you one problem ever that I didn't believe you could get through. That's what that means. I know you can do it. I want to see you turn to me so you can get through it. But will, with the temptation, also make a way to escape. He finds a way for us all, folks. Just have faith. Have faith in Jesus Christ. Look, it's like this. Look, if you listen to what I'm saying, you'll understand. Faith, the grain of a mustard seed. A mustard seed is so tiny. All you got to do, bit by bit, little by little, that little bit of faith. Faith to fix this problem. Faith to fix that problem. Faith to listen. Faith to hear. Faith to read the Bible. Faith to look for the answers. Trust them. Trust God, and you'll get through it. Now, listen to me. I wrote my notes. It says, in the chapter, Paul's talking about how the people turned their own ways and displeased God because they felt they were without a God or without help. But he says in verse 13, he gave them the help they needed. Here's one for you. I wrote this down. Psalms 50:15. We are told in Psalm 50:15, and call upon me in the day of trouble, and I'll deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. You see, what he means by that is, I'll get you through that, and then you know what? As you do that enough times, even the first time, it doesn't take much, you'll look at it and you'll go, you know what? I trust in God, and look how he provides. Look what he's done. He's given me what I need. Oh, I may not have a mansion and a yacht. I may not have the new motorcycle I want. I may even have to suffer with a backache the rest of my life. But he gives me the strength to press on and get through every difficulty, every single one of them, folks. But what? He says, call upon me in the day of trouble. And then what? I'll deliver thee, and thou shalt what? Glorify me. Then you'll look to him and you'll say, thank you, Lord, for doing that for me. Because he is faithful and just, and he does that for us. In verse in Isaiah 43, I wrote down some verses. I want to show you these. It says, verse 1 of 43 says, but now thus saith the Lord that created thee. You see, the Lord said this, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. You see, if we're his, he's called us by his name. If you're listening to the word, if you're taking the time to hear the word of God, you've already been called. And then he says in verse 3, he says this, for I am what? The Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. He'll save you. That's what he says. You have to take him for his word. You have to have faith that he's telling you the truth, that this is none of this is a lie. Verse 5 says this, fear not, for I am with thee. What did I say? I said he's with us always. If we want him to be, he's right there. All we have to do is look to him, and he'll be there for us. Fear not, for I am with thee. Verse 10 says this, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen. Look at, he put you through the trial, and you're his witness. You can tell people, see, God got me through this. I had faith, and I trusted him, and he took care of me. That ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. I am he. I am God. I am Jesus Christ. I have saved you. I will save you. I am there for you. And then he says here in the same verse, before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me, because he's the only one. And I won't go on for time, but I'm telling you, if you go look at verse chapter 43 of Isaiah and read 18 through 21, which says, and I'll give you a brief, behold Israel, oh, I'm sorry, that's the wrong one. I can't go there, folks. I really don't have the time. I don't think I'm going to get there fast enough. Well, let's see what we got. I'm at 43. I'll try it. 18 says, remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. That means, look, remember ye not the former things. Don't think about the past. That stuff's all done and over with. All it does is cause headaches looking backwards at all those problems. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. That means in all the trials and troubles that you face, I'll make a way. The beast of the field shall honor me, the dragons and the owls, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. See, he's going to provide all the things that you need to give drink to my people, my chosen. So no matter how dry you go through a spot in life, he'll provide the things that you need to get you through. Verse 21, he says, this people have I formed what? For myself. They shall show forth my praise. We're going to sing his name when we get through our problems, folks. There's so much more in verse 43. If you go there and read, thank you for letting me share the gospel with you. I have one more song for you today. I hope I made some sense to you. Have faith in the Lord. It's all you need, folks. Honestly, I'm not kidding you. You can face any trial with Jesus Christ. God bless you, and thank you for being here with me. Here's our last song. It's Power in the Blood. This will finish out, folks. Come find me over on Facebook at William Preacher Bill Barnes. Thank you for being here, and God bless you. God bless you and have a great day.